Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday morning here in the world of 2020. And welcome to a brand new episode of Mornings with the Outlaw here live on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am the Outlaw John Rocha, joined as always by the queen of call to action over there. Yeah, I'm going to say that. Alex Shawshank, how are you?
Oh, I appreciate that. I don't think that's true, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll probably get in trouble with everybody else, but I'm going to say it for this show, that's for sure.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm doing good. It's nice. It's chilly outside. I'm so excited. It's officially sweater weather, you know? And so I'm excited to, you know, be nice and cozy, you know, with all my layers.
I know. I'm a big fan of layers too. I miss it on the East Coast. I love layering up. Come out the West Coast, it's only deep, deep, deep into the winter. And then occasionally every few nights in January, you get to bundle up. So I always enjoy those days when I can. So much respect. You get to do that even earlier because it's been hot as F in San Diego for sure the last few weeks. So no bundling up here, that's for sure.
Ugh, that sounds awful. I do not want that.
It's ironic. I live on the West Coast, yet I don't like the sun. I don't like it to be too hot. I'm just not one of those people that just doesn't like. Even when Lindley and I go out to eat, if we go out in the daytime, I will sit in the shady part of the table. She will sit in the sun part of the table, or sunny part of the table. That's just how we got to make it work for us to be happy. So craziness. Anyway, you're not here to talk about our eating habits or our love of the weather. We're here to talk about entertainment news. So much happening over the last 24, I don't know how many days, it's been 3-4 days since we did a Mornings with the Outlaw. So I'm excited for us to talk about all of it. Of course, last night, that Mandalorian trailer dropped to the minute-long teaser for the show coming out later on this month. I mean, we're days away from the Mandalorian coming out. We've also got some news about Spider-Man 3 and Thor 4 ramping up to shoot. Also, Edie Falco now being an Avenger. So ironic. I've been in a Sopranos wormhole for the last few days. And so interesting to hear this news about Edie Falco. We've also got some updates on AMC and what's going on there. And then if we get to it, we'll talk about that new trailer for this new Olaf short film coming to Disney Plus. Also, this Friday, so very soon as well. So a lot to talk about here on the Mornings with the Outlaw. And please remember, Streamlabs and Super Chats are how we make this all happen. Please be free with your donations and your support here on the show. If you want us coming back every Tuesday and Thursday to talk about things we talk about, it depends on you all and the support you give us here throughout the morning. So, all right, Alex, are you ready to get into this thing?
Always.
All right, let's jump into it. Our first story, of course, is the Mandalorian Season 2 trailer that dropped last night in the middle of Monday Night Football. There were two games last night. This trailer dropped during halftime of the second game. That's the Dallas Cowboys Arizona Cardinals game. It was about a minute long trailer. Didn't give away too much. Felt like the majority of the trailer were extended sequences from what we'd seen from the previous trailer there. We didn't get Ahsoka Tano. We didn't get any kind of hints of Boba Fett or Cobb Vanth, which is the rumor role that Timothy Oliphant is playing. We didn't get more of a Sasha Banks and what she was up to. However, we did get more stuff with Cara Dune. We saw her having a little fun. We saw more with Greef Karga. Remember, those two had been kind of only a small part of that trailer that was dropped a couple of weeks ago. We also got some X-Wing action going after Razor's Crest, the Mandalorian's ship. Also, the Mandalorian said he needs to find other Mandalorians to help him get Baby Yoda back to his people. So, and there's a couple other things we'll get to as well. But Alex, overall, what was your reaction to this 1 minute trailer? Were you excited about it? Did you not need it? Or what was your feeling?
When I saw this, I actually saw this three times back to back because I was like, what am I missing? Because I've seen this three times now and I feel bad because I'm still not super excited. Wow. No, I say that because I'm excited to see the show, obviously. Uh-huh. I really loved it. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Right. It's by far my second favorite Star Wars movie situation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, they didn't show anything new, anything much, and there was a lot of love towards Gina Carano. So I was like, I don't want to see her face, but whatever. I was surprised to see how much, you know, screen time she got for this teaser.
Yeah, she did get more. Of course, she's flying that ship and knocking those stormtroopers out of the way. But we're getting Mando kind of playing both, or kind of playing in the middle here, because you're seeing X-Wings go after him. You're seeing TIE fighters go after him, stormtroopers. So clearly, just like a bounty hunter, he does not pick a side in this fight. His thing is about getting Baby Yoda back home. That's what the armorer has told him from the end of season one into the trailer that they showed a couple of weeks ago into this one, this idea that he has to bring Baby Yoda back to his quote unquote people. We don't know if that means other Yodas or other Jedi. It's tough to tell at this point. But we got a lot of bit of that. We also got in the trailer. Let me see here what I got. It's the Mithril. That guy that they broke out, or that the Mandalorian captured in the first episode of the first season, he apparently, they're breaking him out, it seems like, from the trailer. You see him pop his head in between Greef and Cara Dune there when they're in that ship towards the end of the trailer. So what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get him coming back to be a part of this as well? That could be a lot of fun. I think it's Bobby Moynihan who played that character, if I'm not incorrect. Let me see. Let me take a look here. But what do you think about seeing that character coming back? You know, because it was such a fun part of the first episode of the first, the debut episode of the show. Was it cool to see him coming back and being a part of this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was really fun. Yeah, or I think someone in the chat is saying Horatio Sands.
Oh, Horatio Sands. Sorry, yeah, Horatio Sands.
And I love Horatio Sands. I miss him from my SNL days. I was like, oh, my dude. Yes. So he's pretty fantastic. You know, it's definitely exciting to see him come back. You know, something that the Mandalorian, I don't say it desperately needs, because it doesn't, but it's always nice to have a little bit of comedy. You know, a lot of our favorite dramatic moments are, the drama is emphasized because of the great moments of comedy and things like that. And so characters and really interesting characters and, you know, kind of situations like him are always fun to have on screen, and especially interacting with someone so stoic as the Mandalorian, you know? So it's like a really great balance there.
Absolutely. And there's also some hints here as you're watching this trailer that he's going to run into Boba Fett, the idea of having to find other Mandalorians. And maybe he's going to break some kind of code here. And so maybe these other Mandalorians go after him. Maybe Boba Fett goes after him. Maybe Boba Fett, he is a bounty hunter, gets assigned to go get Baby Yoda. So maybe that's a situation too, where he gets to fight off other Mandalorians to protect Baby Yoda. Cause remember in season one, the Mandalorians came to his side to protect him and what he was trying to do and saving the baby and taking off, saying this is the way. But maybe there are other Mandalorians who are not a part of that area of Mandalorians that we got to discover in season one, who want to who get paid to go get this cargo, and they don't care about the political things or the human things or the humanistic things or any kind of or species things, whatever, what have you, and want to go get the Baby Yoda at Mando's expense. So that could be something as well. We could see him fighting up against Boba Fett toe to toe. We didn't see anything of Sabine Wren or possibly Bo-Katan, of course, both rumored to be in season two. So did you like that we didn't get any of the surprises, any of the characters that were rumored to be here popping up in season two, and then basically leaving it for the show for you to discover? Did you like that?
I personally did, just because, you know, keep in mind the announced date that's going to be released is going to be on October 30th. So 10 days away. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want any real big reveals like right before I watch it. You know, if it was like in 3-4 months or something like that, that'd be one thing. But that's not the case. And so, you know, I'm like, maybe I can struggle a little bit. But at the moment I see Boba Fett on screen, I'm going to do like the Boba Fett rap. I'm like, Boba the Fett, my backpack's got jet. I'm going to start wrapping the whole thing the moment he pops on screen. I'm super excited. It's going to be so annoying in the house.
Well, also another thing that was really interesting to watch when you look at the trailer is the jetpack. He's got his jetpack and he says, here we go.
Got jets. Yes.
I thought that was awesome to see him having a jetpack, jumping off the cliff, flying down there, having a little fun. Exciting to see that overall. I liked it. I mean, for a first minute trailer, they got you back into the feeling it's good enough. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't need to see any more. There'll probably be 30 second TV spots or whatever, but I don't think we need to see anything else. Like you said, we're 10 days away. Everybody who's going to watch this is going to watch this. If you're on the fence, you're probably one of 10 people in the entire world who's on the fence about whether you want to watch The Mandalorian or not. So I don't think any trailer is going to talk you into it. And to be honest with you, they don't need you. They're doing just fine with the amount of hoopla and hype around this series that they're enough people are going to watch for sure, probably blow the ratings doors off this thing for Disney Plus. And we do know, Alex, you know, as we talked about last week, Disney trying to focus more on Disney Plus, more of their streaming content, more so, you know, there's going to be a lot of things connected to The Mandalorian. Rumors now that Cara Dune might get a spinoff, which I don't know how people feel about that. Obviously, some people don't like that idea. Some people might like that idea. We'll see how that plays out. But this seems to be she and Greef Karga seem to be a more active part of season two than maybe they were in season one. So we're certainly seeing that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't wait. You know, it's, you know, when it comes for me, more is more. I think my cat agrees with me here. If you can't see her, she's right here.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, she agrees with me. Hey, girl. But yeah, so it definitely, when it comes to a lot of this content, more is more. Obviously, they're not exactly needing a ratings boost, obviously. True. But also when it comes to ratings and things like that, that's one of the things that we have no real determination of
right
now. We still have a hard time, you know, even with the, you know, we've had streaming services and everything as awesome as they have been. And all that's so great. And, you know, Disney's free focusing on streaming. Fantastic. Right. Cool. But we can't really tell realistically, like how many people are actually have watched, you know, so much, and what does that mean? How does that translate things like that? And, you know, obviously if we're getting the stats and everything from Disney or Netflix, Amazon, whatever, they're going to change those numbers to make them look good. Yeah. So it's all kind of wishy-washy information when I hear streaming services talk about ratings. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, what are you talking about?
You make an interesting point, that's for sure, Alex. This idea of that, can they like kind of manipulate the numbers? Remember, Warner Brothers with Tenet didn't want to release the numbers at all for its box office after the first weekend. Mm-hmm. They did eventually relent, but you know, we do hear that. And then Netflix hides its numbers for such a long time, occasionally releasing some numbers when they feel like it. Maybe the same situation applies here with Disney Plus as they become more focused on streaming. How open will they be with the numbers, with the ratings, with all of that to kind of either drive up subscriber growth or hide it to drive up subscriber or to maintain subscriber growth? Who can say? You know, certainly this is a whole new playing field, and there's going to be a lot of interesting things that happen down the road. But this is a positive overall, seeing this thing for a minute, having a little fun, watching and play both sides. So it certainly sounds like it's going to be exciting. The only thing I'm a little worried about is I don't want it to be too jokey. I don't want it to be too, you know, I don't want that kind of shit throughout the whole series. I like the darkness of it. I want to maintain the darkness of it. Yeah, the occasional moments of humor are fine, but I felt like a little bit, like there was a little bit, I don't want wisecrack and Schwarzenegger stuff. I don't need that. And certainly in season one, towards the end of the season, they really let you know the stakes of the show with what happened to a couple of the characters, unfortunately. So that put me in a really good place. So I'm like, okay, great. There's real stakes here. So hopefully that carries through into season two.
I totally agree. You know, one of the great things about Mandalorian is that how great with its tone it is right now with the first season. You know, it's a sci-fi western, you know, kind of really great situation. Mama bird finding its baby bird. Cool. Awesome. I can't wait. I love it. Love it. Love it. You know, but there's like, you know, there's moments where it's funny that's only funny because the scene or the episode is so dramatic. So these itty bitty moments of hilarity essentially are just emphasized that much more, even if they're not that funny. So, you know, I honestly don't think it's going to be an issue. There's a bunch of, you know, there's also a handful of other comedic actors that were in the first season as like cameos that didn't really have, you know, any, we assumed going and be like, if you're going to cast this comedian, you're going to have him be funny on screen, right? You know, that's not always the case. Obviously, Horatio Sands, I love the dude, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a super duper jokester, you know, from the get go. You know, he might be just like some of the other comedic actors we've seen in the first season where, you know, hate to some of the actors, they just died, you know, like 2 minutes after being introduced, even though they're great, but still.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see, certainly. And I'm sure there'll be some guest stars and some interesting cast because they've only released so much of the cast list. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, I know, we know Bill Burr's coming back. I don't know if Amy Sedaris is coming back, but we'll see if they work that in a little bit better this season. All right, let's hit some Streamlabs. We've got some Streamlabs that have come through. Keep sending in your Streamlabs. You see the address there right above. Is it my head or Al? Yeah, right above Alex's head there. Also, if you need the address, it's in the description as well. If you want to just take it off the address and send in some support for the show and for the channel and for what Alex and I do every Tuesday and Thursday morning here on Mornings with the Outlaw. All right, Andrew G. donated first. He said, my favorite part is when all the little nerds bitch on Twitter because they had to watch half a sports game for a 1 minute teaser with no shots of big new characters. Ha ha ha. I love it. As if they'd actually show Ahsoka if she's actually in the show. Yeah, Andrew G brings up an interesting point, Alex. I saw my co-host for the Jedi Way, Laura Kelly, talking about this too, a little bit of a Palpatine gif on Twitter today saying, wouldn't it be funny if Ahsoka Tano doesn't show up at all this season and that Rosario Dawson is playing a completely different character, that might drive people insane. Do you think that people would be upset? Do you think that people would be mad about it? Or do you think Star Wars, do you think they'd risk trolling Star Wars fans like this?
That would definitely be a dangerous game to play, obviously. And I say that as someone that's not part of that community, but I can definitely be like that. They take things seriously over there, obviously. And so I definitely think that's something that they wanted to do. That would be a very interesting PR route to take, you know, if they decided hypothetically that they wanted it to be like just deviate from the original plan or whatever the situation was and be like, psych, you know, I feel like some people would be a little pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, from all the fan art and everything that created, they were like, it's not happening. What the heck?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm excited to have her in the season. I just hope it's going to be more than a blip, or maybe it's going to be like her and Timothy Oliphant's character. It's just going to be like a smidgen at the very end. It's going to be like more of the focus in the third season. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. True. Andrew follows up his thing by saying Ahsoka, Katan, Rex were not confirmed by Lucasfilm Disney. Yes, we know that, Andrew, because if they're a part of the show, they're supposed to be a secret and surprise. Correct. You're absolutely right. And you're right to say if they're part of the show. That's what Disney did not confirm any of that. It's all rumors through sites like Variety and THR and Deadline and what have you that are reporting that these are the characters that will be showing up. Certainly the Hollywood Reporter article blasted out the fact that Ahsoka Tano was going to be in there, and that Boba Fett, that Temuera Morrison was coming back, of course, played Jango Fett in the prequel trilogy, that supposedly he's coming back in this season and playing Boba Fett. So we don't know. We shall see. I think if you risk trolling the Disney fans like this, you're in some deep, deep trouble. I think that trolling like that is for a YouTube channel, not for a huge conglomerate like Disney, who is saying they want to focus harder on their streaming stuff. And if they're making these kinds of changes, the last thing they want to do is piss off their subscribers by having these articles come out and not completely stopping that news from happening by saying, no, she's not in the show, or blah, blah, blah is not in the show, and risking the ire of the fans for sure. All right, let's move on to a couple of Streamlabs. While I'm doing that, I just want to remind you all, we got 128 y'all watching us live. Thank you so much. But we only got 40 likes. So please hit that like button, move that cursor button over there, or the mouse rather over there, hit that thumbs up button. Get us over 100 likes as soon as possible as we move through all our news stuff for the day. All right, Ben Rayner donated. Thank you, Ben. Very kind donation. Says, hey, Roka and Alex, hope you're doing well. Do you have a movie or TV show that everyone hates that you love? Also reverse, do you have a show or movie that everyone loves that you find okay? Doesn't have to be bad necessarily. All right, what do you say, Alex? Do you have a movie or TV show that everyone hates that you love?
Yeah, right up from the get-go, I would have to say American Gods. I love American Gods so much. I can't tell you how many times I've seen American Gods. I love it. So, but also I understand I'm completely in the minority. There's a reason why there's only 2 seasons, which hurts my heart. I love it so much. I love everything from the casting to the characters, the visuals alone. Oh my gosh. I I love it. But some, if we're going to talk about other shows that everyone loves and I really, really dislike.
Yeah.
Walking Dead.
Wow. Probably. Okay.
It, you know, after like the second, third season, it just, yeah. It, you know, because I loved like the first season, but after that, it just got too much, I guess. And I just didn't like it as much. And I felt the way they used like some of the characters, I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Why fridge for no reason, but whatever. Yeah. So, you know, just, you know, things like that.
Okay. Let's see, a movie or TV show. I mean, everyone knows my Transformers thing. So, everyone hates them, but I love those films. They're a lot of fun. They're stupid fun.
They're
as stupid fun as those Fast and Furious movies. So I don't know. Some people love the shit out of those movies and I think they're dumb as hell. Even though I enjoy watching them, I think they're dumb as hell. Same thing with Transformers movies. Those are dumb fun. People seem to hate those more than they hate those Fast and Furious movies. Can't explain it. But also there are movies like Hudson Hawk. I love Hudson Hawk. I love A Million Ways to Die in the West. I'm probably one of the only people that enjoys that Seth MacFarlane Western movie for some reason. Ridiculous. No, I mean, look, it's nuts, but for whatever reason, the mustache song, everything, I just really enjoy it. A TV show. I don't know if there's a TV show that I hate. Oh no, that everyone hates, but I love. I don't know if there's a TV show like that, really. I don't usually buck the system like that. But those are the movies for sure. Do you have a show or movie that everyone loves that you find okay? Everyone knows about the Lord of the Rings stuff, but I don't know, a show? Yeah, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't get it. I've tried watching Schitt's Creek as well. I have tried watching both of those shows, multiple episodes. I just don't understand why people love either one of those shows as much as they do. They bore me to tears. I don't think they're funny. And someone said to me yesterday on SCN Live, well, do you like Arrested Development? I'm like, yeah, because that's funny. Arrested Development is something I can understand, whereas Schitt's Creek, I don't really understand. I don't really care about them. So I don't know why I don't get it as much as everyone else does, but I just don't. And I've tried multiple episodes. It just doesn't work for me. I find myself smiling maybe once in three episodes, and that's not a good thing for me. All right. Go ahead, Alex. What were you saying?
Oh, no. I totally agree with you. I can't stand Arrested Development. I actively can't stand it. It makes me physically uncomfortable to watch a lot of the scenes where it's like, where the mama, she's like, I don't care for Job. And she's like drinking the martini. And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. That's rough. That's real rough.
I can hear you. I hear you on that one. Absolutely. All right. Now, let's see if I got one more here. Yeah, from Max Million. Max, good to see you, bud. How are you? He says, good morning, John. Could I please get a birthday message from you to my mom, Mary? I'm collecting messages from all her favorite online personalities, and you're on the top of that list. Oh, that's very kind. Sure. Mary, happy birthday. I have my birthday this week as well. It's on Friday, so I'm glad that we share a birthday week. You got a great son there, Max, and it was great meeting you down there in Atlanta for the live event there between Ben Bateman and Dan Merle. Really enjoyed hanging out. Thanks for being so kind after the comedy club as well, giving me compliments on my stand-up, which I'm always so nervous about. You're an amazing person. You're so much fun to talk to and such a bright light and energy. So I'm very glad you're celebrating another birthday, and here's to many more after that. So congratulations and keep doing what you're doing. A lot of people love what you're doing, so much love. Okay. All right. Alex, anything you want to add to that? You're good.
Happy birthday, my lady, my girl, my home skillet. I dig it. Happy birthday, though.
There you go. All right. Let's move on to our next story. And please keep those Streamlabs and Super Chats coming in. Haven't seen too many Super Chats. We've only gotten three Streamlabs. So keep supporting the show. You know, if you want us to keep coming back and doing this every Tuesday and Thursday, it's through your Streamlabs and your Super Chats that we're allowed to make this happen here on the Outlaw Nation channel. All right, let's move on to our next story here, Alex. And that's to do with Spider-Man. Spider-Man 3 has apparently begun shooting or filming already in New York City. New York City? Yeah, New York City. Sony Pictures executive marketing director in Brazil, Camila Pacheco, reportedly revealed, and this is coming to us via Murphy's Multiverse, that the film is still tracking for its December 2021 release date. That's next year. And that we may get a first look featurette as early as this December, on about Spider-Man 3, and photos are already popping up all over social media with signage in Queens, New York. The film's working title is Serenity Now. Of course, this also features Zendaya and Benedict Cumberbatch coming back as Doctor Strange. And it was revealed Jamie Foxx in some way coming back as Electro. Remember, Jamie Foxx's Electro was part of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man universe. So having crossover led to a lot of speculation that we're going to get Tobey Maguire popping up in this thing, Andrew Garfield popping up in this thing, Kirsten Dunst maybe popping up in this thing, Emma Stone maybe popping up in this thing, with the multiverse of madness being connected to possibly Spider-Man with Doctor Strange and WandaVision and all of that. So, first of all, what do you feel about the fact that they're already starting to shoot in New York City when New York City is not really out of the woods necessarily with the pandemic or with coronavirus, and we're seeing so many spikes going on in other states in this country? Do you think this is a safe thing that they're doing? And we just heard Alex a few days ago or a few weeks ago how the Batman had to shut down production because Robert Pattinson got COVID. So what's your feeling about this? Are you excited or kind of trepidatious about it?
I'm more excited, to be honest, personally. Okay. It's going to vary place to place, obviously set to set. And I just keep thinking with every time they, you know, set up and, you know, shut down temporarily, you know, it's gonna really going to be a learning curve for, you know, all these sets. So I wonder if they're going to be like, hey, F it. We're just going to pause everything and start shooting next summer or something. I don't think that realistically is going to be doable for everyone involved cast wise. So, and you know, a lot of people behind the scenes. So I guess they were thinking to themselves, hey, we got to actually get going. Yeah. We got to delay it by long periods, unfortunately, or we have to start, you know, getting to it like right now. And then if something happens, unfortunately, we'll take it as it comes. But, you know, we got to get the ball rolling on these.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you want to see it happening. You hope they're taking all the right steps for it. You hope they're putting everything in motion. But what's your feeling about this, Alex? Let me get your thoughts on this. Do you like the idea that the possibility might? We've seen some other sites reporting that these contracts have been signed. Nothing credible has been cited. Disney has said they have not said yes or no to the situation. They've just said some of these we're not validating in these things happening, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily a no. So would you want to see Andrew Garfield? Would you want to see Tobey Maguire coming back as Spider-Man in a Spider-Man 3 situation? Or do you think that's kind of boring?
Boring is not the word I would use under any circumstances. Okay. I think they're all really great. And I do think I feel like it could be really, really great. However, I just have a hard time visualizing how it could be done effectively. Into the Spider-Verse is by far my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
It's amazing for a million and one different reasons. And it really showed how you can go into the multiverse without it being ridiculous or stupid, you know. Actually showed how you can actually make it really fantastic, you know, and so many people, amazing people involved in that movie in particular. But I have a hard time seeing that translate to the MCU, but I've been proven wrong, clearly. I've eaten my words numerous times. You know, when I saw Avengers Endgame for the first time, when they were like getting all the stones and, you know, Tilda Swinton's character, she's like, dude, all the multiverses, you know, that creates another timeline, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? You know, I mean, again, I've been proven wrong just because especially I'm not in the movie business personally. You know, I'm just a small town St. Louis esthetician. So, you know, no big deal. But it just comes down to I don't have the visual abilities to kind of visualize this effectively in a way that looks cool.
Right.
You know, so as a result, I'm looking at this and I'm like, that sounds so stupid.
Keep going.
But I love I think it's cool. I mean, like, I like the idea if I'm like, Andrew Garfield, he's such a great Spider-Man, him in particular. Horrible movies, but him individually is great. Right. And so they have all these moments that I don't, what?
I get people's trepidation. Absolutely. Andrew G saying, I think the reason the multiverse works so well in Spider-Verse was because it was an animated film. That's certainly the feeling I have with this situation as well. I totally agree with you. Gnome Science is not a fan of multiple Spideys. He smells of, hey, it worked in Spider-Verse. Let's do that again. That's a very valid point, and I totally understand that. I'm hesitant about it, but I also think it's kind of great that studios understand once and for all the fans who are watching their movies. You know, it seems like for the most part, they don't always get it right, but the idea of us wanting closure with a character, right? Ben Affleck is coming back to play Batman one more time in this Snyder's Justice League, right? Michael Keaton's coming back to play Batman in this multiverse of DC stuff. Are we getting Toby and Andrew coming back? Because both of those franchises or attempts at franchises ended with a film that was universally panned, you know, Spider-Man 2 with Electro and the Spider-Man 3 or the Amazing Spider-Man rather 2. And then the Spider-Man 3 one with Tobey Maguire doing his emo thing. So getting them to come back and kind of give a little bit of closure from the fans for what they did and the work they did in those films, I think is a positive. And we all, the fact that they understand that the fans are possibly open to it, I think is a good thing overall. Now, can they make it work? It's Sony, so I don't 100% believe that they can make it work. And I agree with Gnome saying that it kind of feels like, yeah, they did that. Let's do it in live action. If they can find a way to earn it, if they can find a way to make it organically make sense, then great. But if it feels shoved in, no matter what the fan service is, like we saw in Rise of Skywalker, I think a majority of people will be turned off by it. So that's the line they're walking for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is a very difficult line to walk, you know, at the end of the day. But something that I think is very positive, you know, about the idea of it is that, you know, they're going to definitely get more creative with the whole process of these multiple worlds. You know, Doctor Strange is returning, you know, to this world. And, you know, what's his big thing? He can just stay into other worlds, you know, effectively. Right. He can do this whole wash on, wash off kind of situation, wax on, wax off situation. That's right. Him. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, it's very, very doable. I honestly think I think that they do have the potential to do it effectively, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time visualizing it.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I've been proven wrong. And, you know, I was also one of those people that thought like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, I'm like, how can they create such an awesome, spectacular movie with so many characters, with so many plots, subplots and everything? How can that make a cohesive actual movie that's been building up for like almost 20 movies? Like how can they make that successful? And they did. Yeah. So if anyone is going to do it effectively, it's definitely this going to be this group of people.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's a great point of view here. Also, one last thing. Chris Hemsworth tweeted out that Thor Love and Thunder will begin production in January in Sydney, Australia. Hemsworth also said that director Taika Waititi is, quote, writing the script currently, and the film remains on track for a February 2022 release. So clearly, Alex, you know, some films are ramping up. Other films are kind of waiting it out to see what happens and maybe taking a little bit of a break here before they get back in motion. But it seems like the superhero stuff is back into churning at these theaters. I mean, for all this talk about going to streaming and theaters dying or what have you, these films are getting the green light and they're moving forward. Now, the reason they may be moving forward is because studios see that this is the films that are going to actually get cinema releases or releases in the cinema. So these are the ones that are going to be greenlit more than the smaller, more independent films. They're going to be more focused on these to see if they can make their money back on these to fund the other stuff that they're doing as well. So no surprise on my end to see that happening. I just hope all those, as you said, set to set is different. So I hope every set, though, takes care of their business and keeps people safe and doesn't push through stuff or overwork production crew, which we've seen many, many times on film sets. So we've heard rumors about that happening many, many times on film sets to the point where they become tired and exhausted and they're exposed to the COVID situation and their bodies can't fight back and they get infected with it. That's a terrible situation just for a damn movie. There's no reason for that.
I wonder if by taking precautions, I wonder if they're going to be doing more active tests like every week, every 2 weeks. I am kind of curious of what the specific regulations for as like continuing filming are, what they're doing specifically in order to continue, feel confident in filming again. Because let's face it, a lot of these actors are, I'm sure, going to be like, hey, I don't even want to consider filming again, realistically, unless I know I feel confident in this set. I mean, like, everything's going to be clean, wiped down effectively. You know, everyone involved is getting tested regularly. Everyone is healthy. If I hear a cough in any direction, we're shutting this whole thing down. Okay. Right. I don't care if it's a fake cough. Okay. Right. So the thing is, that's incredibly, incredibly expensive, obviously. And they're also filming Love and Thunder over in Australia. And I personally don't know what that situation is over there, or if it's anything similar to like New Zealand and the Kiwis over there. So I don't know.
I don't either. I know New Zealand is clean. I don't know if Australia still has an infection rate that's high and could be an issue here. But also, this is interesting. MK Somberg saying, reading that the Batman is using virtual production similar to the Mandalorian for some scenes. I know that's an article you sent me, Alex. We had considered talking about that, but certainly we could throw it in real quick here. Yeah, that may be another way that they get out of the idea of COVID or being in contact using the virtual production, which allows them to practice social distancing, allows them to do green screen stuff, limiting the amount of crew that can be in the room while they're doing these things. So maybe that's their way out of it, and the CG is so believable, as we saw in The Mandalorian, that it's tough to pick it out and call it fake. So maybe that's a way that they're trying to make this happen as well. So I don't know. It seems to make sense.
Yeah, they're gonna do the best that they can, honestly, but it's just gonna be a lot of trial and error as far as like trying to pick things back up again. So
There's
going to be a lot of pros and cons. There's going to be a lot of mistakes, you know, and they're not going to be able to have the opportunity to make those mistakes until they get the ball rolling again.
Right. I agree. All right. We got about three Streamlabs that have come through here. Let's take a look at them real quick. Ben Rayner, thank you so much again, Ben. He said, about this first look, do you think if they are connected, what are the chances Andrew and Toby are in this December first look? Do you think there is a chance? I think there's always a chance that Toby and Andrew could come back and be part of this universe. I think they wouldn't necessarily spoil it in a first look before they announce it. I think that would be dangerous to do that before they announce it. You want to get them a chance to speak about it or tweet about it. So you build up the hype. Then if you were to include them in the first look, then you get the screen grabs and people going insane. Especially, it's a great Christmas present if you're going to drop it in December for people who are fans of the Spider-Man universe to see them come and be a part of it. So that would be the way to do it. What do you think, Alex? Do you think they would they drop it in a first look without any kind of warning, or do you think they'd do the warning first?
Hell nah. To be completely honest, I mean, I was thinking, honestly, if we're going to get a first look on any, you know, new character in particular, we're going to be lucky if we get, you know, Electro, honestly, get a nice, you know, focus on him and being like him walking out of the portal or whatever the heck they do.
Yeah.
And being like, yeah, bro, this is going to be my new hometown. What's up? You know? That's how I'm like picturing Electro. Yeah, but my hometown, New York City. What's up,
right.
Tom Holland?
Right.
You know, so where there is no Uncle Ben, you know, so, I am kind of curious to see that potentially go down. But honestly, just like with the teaser for The Mandalorian, especially if it's just a teaser. I just want a cutaway moment, just split. Half millisecond situation.
Right,
you know, I don't want a full on 3-minute teaser. That's not a teaser.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other part of it too is that, I don't know if I've seen anybody talk about this, and maybe I haven't watched enough of these breakdown shows or whatever, but if you start opening the door to the possibility of multiple Spider-Man showing up because of Doctor Strange, who is attached to the MCU, then if he can open portals to separate dimensions where different Spider-Men exist, then why couldn't he open a portal to different dimensions where a different Iron Man exists, a different Captain America exists, who are still played by Robert Downey Jr., still played by Chris Evans? All of that now comes into play. Or maybe there's an Iron Man universe where it's Gwyneth Paltrow, who's Iron Woman, and Robert Downey Jr. is the guy running Potts Incorporated, whether it's Potts Industries. And it's Robert Downey Jr. who's on the board of executives, and he doesn't use superpowers, doesn't use a suit or anything like that. He's just an executive. That's certainly possible. Like, right? Yeah. Well, I'm just saying an executive. You say, what if, you know, the what if situation? We saw that the what if's going to come out in the animated one with Hayley Atwell as Captain Britain. Couldn't we open a portal while Hayley Atwell comes back to play Captain Britain live action with Steve Rogers being just the guy she's in love with? That's a possibility as well, you know? So all of these things start to open up if you open the idea of portals. That's why you've got to be really, really careful with how you do it, because it could be a plot device. It could be a convenient thing that you're doing. And I think fans will read that and be turned off by it if you don't do it in a way that's organic and earned. And so it's kind of an interesting roundabout way to keep Tony Stark, keep Captain America, keep Robert Downey Jr., keep Chris Evans possibly coming back down the road. If there start to be trouble with Marvel, let's say they release some of these films and they're not as good as the first three phases, maybe there starts to be a call from the intelligentsia over at Disney just be like, hey, we need to bring back Robert Downey Jr. We need to bring back Chris Evans. How do we do that? So there's always that possibility, which is unsettling, but there's always that possibility. So
I hate that idea so much.
But I'm not
absolutely. You're not wrong at all. That's what makes it so really, really iffy. I have a hard time visualizing this really being effective and not being used as a convenient plot device, honestly. Yeah. You know, I feel like Spider-Verse is the exception to the rule, essentially. What I loved about Endgame and Infinity Wars in particular is that there is this real sense of finality to the entire movies because of the really, really great deaths and, you know, we're done with the characters. We're absolutely donezos. Mm-hmm. You know, Falcon is, essentially taking over as Captain America. I want that so much right now. Right. I cannot wait. Morgan potentially, you know, growing up to be, you know, training to be, you know, something like a Iron Man situation. And, you know, that thing is, they had such really, really wonderful endings. Robert Downey Jr., he is like, he's not coming back, but, you know, he's not coming back. Yeah. But Chris Evans has been adamant saying, I don't even want to do it. I'm not going to sign any new contracts. He's done. He is actively trying to do a lot of new projects and characters. That's why he did Knives Out. He's trying to do more directing, producing, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you open the door, yes, you just got to be really, really careful about it. And you don't want to ruin the really great legacy that these characters ended on.
Yeah.
You know, it would suck if like Robert Downey Jr. they were like, hey, we need Robert Downey Jr. to bring back ratings again.
Right.
Like, why would you ruin such a great death and legacy of a character just for a ratings boost, dude? Yeah. Like, come on.
And I get what you're saying. And I see Zias B. Lou saying, yeah, Evans is donezo. Look, they all say they're donezo till they see the figures on the check. Everyone's done till you see the figure. Look at how many shows have come back that we had canceled years ago. Roseanne, now the Conners, obviously. You see what these other shows that have come back. Hell, West Wing got reunited for a stage reading of one of their shows. So anything is possible. Look, if they bring back Tobey Maguire is coming back. So anything is possible here. Once you look at the zeros and they back up the dump truck, all of a sudden you reconsider certain positions. I'm not saying they will, right? Certainly Chris Evans is a man of principle and you really respect the gentleman, but maybe if they come at him with a really incredible script, it might be fun for him to do that and to play second fiddle to Hayley Atwell. So it's her story. I think Chris Evans would see the positivity in that and uplifting a woman lead in a superhero movie, and which is still kind of, you know, rare. We've only seen two or three examples of that. So it would be, I think, in service of that possibility. I think Chris would be conducive to that. He'd be open to that possibility. Robert Downey Jr., hey, maybe there's a way, if we're talking about closures, maybe there's a way we open up the door to Terrence Howard coming back to be War Machine or to be Iron Man in a separate universe. Haskell mentioning the fact that we could get alcoholic Tony Stark Iron Man, which we haven't touched on at all in the MCU at this point. That could be an interesting thing to explore as well if you want to put closure on all of this. So I think there's a number of possibilities that we can open up the door to here if we do this, but you have to be careful with how you do it and how it fits in the overall universe of what you're creating. So yeah, just an idea, throwing it out there. Yeah, right. Exactly. Lewis Cox. If Dexter is coming back, which I don't know who was asking for that, then anything is possible, I guess. So, all right. We got 185 of y'all watching us live. Please hit that like button and leave a comment and jump into the chat and talk to people. If you're watching us after we've done the show live, leave a comment, leave a like. The more comments and likes you leave, it elevates the visibility of this show. All right, two more Streamlabs real quick, and we'll move on here. Andrew G said, I hear the Batman will use the tech for Mando. We talked about that, shoot some scenes. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I believe Taika will be using it on Thor 4 as well, I'm sure. The future of filmmaking, they really changed the game with that virtual set. Cheers to Favreau and the whole crew there. Absolutely. And another one that Andrew G sent in, he said, I'd love to see Garfield back in his own film. Andrew Garfield back in his own film. Not as another mentor for Holland, who I feel hasn't proven to carry a Spider-Man film on his own. Having Stark and other MCU characters as mentors slash crutches with Strange rumor to do that as well. Yeah, Alex, would you want to see Andrew Garfield back in another film of his, another Spider-Man solo film?
Dude, I love Andrew Garfield so much. Ever since I saw him do a lip sync battle at a drag show, I am so for it. I love all right. it. He is my... he is like, oh my gosh, I love Andrew Garfield so much. Anyway, that's another story. But okay, so you know, I like you said, we were talking about earlier. I have a hard time visualizing this actually happening successfully. And you know what the MCU is really, really great in doing is that they are meticulous when it comes to their timeline, making it so nice and like pretty. Okay, so you know, they're not going to be incorporating any new characters unless they have a really great story to really make it align as well. And also, this is going to be Tom Holland's story as well. We have to keep that in mind. Unless, you know, he's going to come in for a quick cameo, you know, maybe he'll take on like a mentorship role or something along those lines. Heck, it could be just like a breakdown of like a whole bunch of scenes from Into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
That'd be cheating. But, you know, it is technically, you know, very doable. I just have a hard time visualizing it actively happening. But I would love for him to somehow be involved to a certain extent just because he is so wonderful.
I don't disagree with you. I think Andrew Garfield got the short end of the stick with that second movie. They tried to do too much and they blew it. And that the Rhino situation was ridiculous. Electro was a lot of people. Some people liked Jimmy Fox's Electro, and certainly enough people must have liked Jimmy Fox's Electro to be bringing him back to be part of the universe. So maybe they feel they can do something better with him in the Spider-Man 3 movie. Yeah. We shall see. But either way, I agree. I think he should get another shot. Toby's had his run. He had three. Three's fair. Right. And I think having Andrew come in and play one more to kind of wrap it up would be kind of fun as well. So we shall see.
He's like fifth year Harry Potter. I'm just so angry all the time. Just looking in the mirror. Let me just go play poker in the back room. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know what? You know what? If we're going to get like an MCU moment between Tobey Maguire and bringing on Robert Downey Jr., just watch that little trailer scene from Tropic Thunder.
Right.
if you oh want something, it's like from Saint to Sinner or something, where there are two priests that, you know, fall in love, or they have a, you know, super homoerotic relationship that is like really amazing in that trailer. So if you want some of that, go check out the 2-minute trailer.
I love it.
It's so good.
That trailer is great. And playing that song that they're playing, that song that I forget what that song is, but yeah,
it looks like a legit trailer.
Enigma Sadness, that's it. Enigma Sadness, he's touching the rosary beads. Oh yeah, it's hilarious. all right, well let's move on to the AMC story here. AMC Theaters stock price surged 22% higher on Monday morning after the nation's largest cinema chain said it would resume operations at a number of New York locations. This is not New York City, though. This is New York State. So outside of New York City, Cuomo is allowing some of these theaters to start opening up. And he announced that this past weekend, it will start opening up on the 23rd, which is this Friday. And AMC stock was trading at $3.71 a share, which is pretty good. And then eventually went up to 22%. So announced it would be reopening a dozen theaters in New York. AMC did, mostly upstate and on Long Island. By the end of the month, though, AMC said 530 of its 600 theaters in the U.S. will be operating. So only 70 theaters will not be open for AMC in the country. But those 70 theaters probably lie in some of the biggest cities here in the country with the amount of COVID spikes that we've been having. AMC CEO Adam Aron said the reopening of movie theaters around the country is essential to the theatrical industry and the entire entertainment ecosystem. It has become clear that movie studios are not willing to release blockbuster product until key major markets are open. Therefore, it is a monumental step in the right direction for our entire industry that theaters are starting to reopen across the state of New York. Cuomo said they'll be able to open at 25% capacity max, which is a maximum of 50 people per screening room, and there will be mandatory social distancing and other precautions. AMC, this is interesting news because AMC said it was going to run out of cash by the end of 2021, and you know that Cinemark also enjoyed a healthy jump on Monday morning with its stock increasing 10% because it's also ramping up to open up theaters as well. But this morning on Variety, Alex, real quickly, AMC plans to sell 15 million shares and warns investors of Chapter 11 bankruptcy if it does not obtain additional sources of liquidity. So you look at this whole story, Alex, it seems like there's a lot of moving pieces here. A lot of, a lot of unknowns. Yeah. Opening up these theaters are great, but that doesn't mean people are going to come see movies. And if you see that the numbers aren't coming and there isn't new product to put in these theaters, that's great that they're opening, but how many people are really going to go risk their lives to go see The Dark Knight again or something like that in the theater and possibly catch COVID? And if they see the numbers are down, why would you invest in AMC if you see that there's no potential for them coming back? Even though these films are ramping up to shoot, we won't see any of this stuff until next year. So what does this overall tell you about AMC and their, their viability as a theater chain at this point?
Something to remember is that AMC, when they start showing, when the time comes where they're going to be comfortable enough to show movies again, they're only going to have 25% occupancy rate. So that's something you have to keep in mind. Not only that, it's going to be a long way away. There's going to be required masks as well. And right. I don't know if what the food situation is going to be, but also you're much more likely to get COVID going to the gas station or go to the mall or going to a restaurant. So keeping that in mind, you have to be realistic about the whole situation, because if they don't move, realistically, it's not more or less, likely to happen inside a theater. Actually, scratch that. It is actually less likely. You're less likely to catch COVID inside a movie theater. You're sitting the entire time. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. The idea of you directly sitting next to someone else, that's the problem. It's not so much the idea you're sitting in one place. It's just you're not sitting next to one person. But when you take away that risk, you are literally, you're probably going to be like 30 feet away from the next person over. Yeah. And so honestly, it's really, it's not a bad time, honestly. So, it seems like right now AMC is just desperate to make some cash in order to potentially succeed, make enough money in order to still be around by the end of next year. Because if they're not around by the end of next year, they're probably going to be completely done. Yeah. So honestly, there is hypothetically no reason. They also, just created like this new, like you can rent your own theater situation, really cool, which I'm really excited about. You can rent your own theater for like $100.
$100.
$300. Right. Yeah, you can for up to 20 people. You can have, up to 20 people, and there's only like 15, 20 movies, or you can select from, and the price varies. Like if you want to see a newer release versus like other movies where like The Conjuring, Tenet was up there for $150, I think. So it's very doable. You can, these theaters are definitely doing everything they can in order to be appealing and make you feel safe. Yeah. Honestly, I'm totally fine to go into a theater, but again, I know for a fact everyone is going to be very safe distanced away.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a good point. And that's the thing you worry about, right? And AMC disclosed that it had $417.9 million in cash on its balance sheet as of September 30th. However, and that's down from the $508 million cash balance they had on August 31st. So that's almost $100 million they're down on. And the shares of AMC initially on Tuesday declined more than 11% on the news to $3.14 in early trading this morning. So that's not a good sign as well. And the and remember, earlier this month, Standard & Poor's warned that AMC was in danger of defaulting on its debt due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. So, I mean, you know, this is these things that, that are, like I said, there's a lot of moving pieces throughout this whole thing. I like that these theaters are reopening, but there's not any new product. So just the symbolic nature of these theaters reopening is great, but it doesn't mean that people are going to run out and go see these things just to support theaters. I think most people are like, I don't want to go out there and see old stuff. I can watch it right in my house, and it isn't a big deal. So I don't know. I think we're going to see overall how this will figure things out and how it will land. And I wonder if it'll land in a positive way. And like you said, Alex, we're not going to see anything probably until next year. And we shall see for sure. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. What were you going to say?
Oh, real quickly, I do want to mention that these places in particular where they're shooting a lot of these movies, New York, LA, they are weird little bubbles. I do want to point that out because, you know, everything that's going on in LA, San Francisco, things like that, you know, these real big cities, they are not what's happening around the world. Yeah, you know, it's true. You know, obviously being here in St. Louis is a very different situation from Chicago versus any small town Iowa, you know, and so we can't really compare all of them the same way. So we either, you know, we can definitely close, you know, theaters like in LA, things like that. That makes complete sense considering a lot of people are being ridiculous and there are crazy populated areas. But in some places where there's like not even 2,000 people total in a town, you don't have to, I don't know if you had to necessarily close down their theater necessarily if they don't even have any confirmed cases. So it's definitely kind of a weird situation overall. So we can't, I don't know if we can apply the same rules for everyone.
And AMC said in a new filing, this is something to put away in the back of your mind here for everyone who's watching and listening, and for you, Alex, as well. In the event the company determines that these sources of liquidity will not be available to it, which is what they're asking for, these sources of liquidity, they need them, or will not allow it to meet its obligation as they become due, it would likely seek an in-court or out-of-court restructuring of its liabilities, meaning AMC, and in the event of future liquidation or bankruptcy proceeding, holders of the company's common stock would likely suffer a total loss of their investment. So when you hear that, you know, and they're saying we will require significant amounts of additional liquidity, and there is substantial doubt about our ability to continue as a going concern for a reasonable period of time. Holders of our Class A common stock could suffer a total loss of their investment. So I think eventually, essentially what they're trying to say is, hey, come and save us. And if you don't save us, those of you who put money in, you're going to lose everything. So maybe put more money in to try to maybe take a chance that you'll get some of your money back. So it's an interesting tact to take. But if I was an investor, I'd look at the situation as a massive write-off if I could and just move on to the next thing, because it seems kind of dangerous to throw good money after bad. That just doesn't make sense to be for me, to be honest with you. So anyway, all right, let's move on to our last story before we wrap the show up. If please keep sending in your Streamlabs and Super Chats. We can read them at the end of the show as we wrap this up. So our last story is about Avatar. This dropped here some pictures of Edie Falco. Edie Falco being in the Avatar sequels, pretty crazy stuff. John Landau dropped a bunch of behind the scenes images. So did the official Avatar account. And they were offering up some new looks at the cast members who are a part of it on virtual sets, production sign. And we saw Edie Falco as one of these people. She's revealed as a new character called General Ardmore. She is described as the new head of RDA activity on Pandora. Of course, that means the Resources Development Administration that oversaw the mining of the infamously named unobtainium. Ribisi, in the last movie, Giovanni Ribisi played the corporate administrator for RDA mining operation that went haywire. Ribisi will be back, apparently, for all four of the Avatar sequels. So, spoiler alert, he's not fucking dying, apparently. Falco joined the cast in January of 2019. And we're just now seeing these pictures. They started shooting 2017. And they're still going on 2 and 3 and then 4 and 5. 2 and 3 didn't start filming until spring of 2019 in New Zealand. Of course, we shut down with COVID. It's supposed to hit theaters in December of 2022, and then Avatar 3 in December of 2024, and then the rest up until Avatar 5 in December of 2028. I'll probably be dead by that point, but it'll come out Avatar 5. So what did you think, Alex, about seeing first the news that Edie Falco was in this thing, and then seeing her in her military garb?
I love Nurse Jackie. That's one of my favorite shows. I love Nurse Jackie so much. I love Edie Falco so much. She's like by far one of my favorite TV actresses. That does not get enough love, which hurts my heart. Sopranos. Oh my gosh. her being involved in the movie, I knew she was involved in the movie overall, you know, being cast, but I didn't know in what role, you know, so I definitely can see her taking on this kind of iconic role, like iconic kind of villainous role almost, like, you know, similar to, I can't remember his name. He was in the first Avatar movie.
Yeah. Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah. Stephen Lang, the military guy?
Yeah, Stephen Lang's character. Yeah.
Right. So, sorry.
She's kind of taken over like the new Avatar villain. You know,
yeah.
Situation. I can definitely see her doing that because she 100% has the chops to take on that villainous role, but same time, you're going to like it. So I'm so here for it overall. These pictures in particular, though, I think it's just to confirm that, you know, she's being awesome, obviously, on set. She's they're actually going through with it. But these pictures mean nothing. They don't show anything.
It's true. They don't show really. Too much.
So they show that, you know, she's in uniform. Wow. We already knew that.
Right.
Big whoop. So, you know, outside of, you know, Edie being awesome, there's nothing more you can say about the photos specifically.
Yeah. I mean, it's her looking like she's in charge of things for sure. She's a general, so that's a positive. But overall, I mean, I love the fact that she's going to be in charge. And you're right. I mean, she could play a really good hard ass, a really good villain, or she could play someone that kind of understands that what the military is doing, what these people are doing to the indigenous natives of this planet are incorrect. And she could try to go against the corporation to try to get them into a better situation. Remember, Michelle Rodriguez was that military person that helped them against Stephen Lang and Giovanna Ribisi when stuff was going crazy in the first film. So possibly she could be coming in to kind of smooth things over, but she could also be a villain who supposedly is smoothing things over, but is actually undermining what's happening here, trying to throw some issues into the situation that would be advantageous for the company and allow the military to step in and take over the situation. So we shall see which way she goes. She can play both. I mean, she can be a really good villain if she wanted to be, because she's such a good, strong actress and a hard ass. So it'd be great to see that as well. And I've been getting into The Sopranos again recently. That's been a lot of fun to watch. So I've been getting into these deep dives on these characters. It's been great revisiting that series and seeing her as well. I love Carmella. She was one of my favorite characters ever on television. So yeah, exciting to see. And hopefully we'll see pictures of Kate Winslet in this as well and what her role will be. So, and Stephen Lang is supposedly back as well. So this will be fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. One last stream lab before we wrap it up here. It's from Buckeye Jet. It says, John, Alex, please excuse the super randomness. Absolutely love your channel and your diverse voices. Like with Alex, as you said, she was of Asian descent. Alex, what is your background? The Asian fan wants to know. Hope it's okay to ask that. Okay. Alex, anything you want to reveal or not reveal?
Yeah, no, I was saying it's funny because no one actually looks at me and thinks Asian, obviously. No, I'm Thai. My mom grew up actually in an itty bitty Thai village north of Bangkok, about a few hours north of Bangkok. She moved to the States when she was like in her preteens, like 11, 12, that kind of thing. And so, but I pretty much grew up in an Asian household. My grandma, you know, quite a bit, you know, very much a Thai household. So Yeah, that's it though. You know, I'm Thai and white. Surprise.
Yeah, there you go, Buckeye Jet. There's your answer. And thanks so much for sending that question. And thanks so much for sending and for watching the stuff we do here on the channel. Thoroughly, thoroughly appreciate it. Okay, I think we should wrap up here. Alex, feel free to plug or promote anything you got going on in your world.
Yes. Tomorrow I'm actually going to be hosting, a Schmo-based match themed with Reactor. So I'm pretty excited. Abby Friel, she's going to be my co-host. You know, a few people from the Cinefanatics, Robert Adams from the Cinefanatics. He's going to be debating up against Ferris, you know, from Let's Get Ready. So I'm pretty excited to have that go down. It's going to be themed on a lot of really great questions I came up with while watching the Schmodown Throwdown last Friday. So definitely stay tuned for that. It's going to be tomorrow with the Called Action podcast that I host. I also am going to be diving into one of my favorite horror remakes of all time, The Crazies from 2010. It is, in my opinion, one of the top five horror remakes of all time. So we're going to be diving into that. It's actually our first double feature with Cinema Bias. It's a show that I co-host with Video Drew, aka Drew Grant, where we dive into movies that really challenge us, you know, as movie fans and, you know, at her as critics. And so we're going to be diving into that on Tuesday tonight at 10 o'clock Central. So definitely stay tuned for that.
Awesome. Awesome. And yeah, please follow Alex on everything she does. Please watch the shows that she hosts. She's fantastic when she does that. Schmo Bates is always a blast for sure. And of course, Cinema Bias, I've been on that show, both those shows actually, and had a great time on both of those shows that Alex does. So it's a lot of fun for sure. All right. On this side of the, pond here on the Outlaw Nation channel tonight, I'm making my announcement here. I put it up already. I created the video. Some people who are followers and subscribers, the Outlaw Nation, they know this is happening, but some of you may not know. Tonight on the Outlaw Nation show, 6 p.m. PT, my guest is the one and only JTE. That's right, Joshua Tapia. For the first time ever on the Outlaw Nation show, I'm excited to have JTE on the show. We're going to catch up two fellow Latinos, two fellow white passing Latinos hanging out together, talking about the Schmodown, talking about our famous battles between the Patriots and the Top 10. We're also going to talk about his favorite franchises, talk about what it's like to review movies now in 2020, and we're also going to get into what his life is like now in Wisconsin since he moved out of LA. You know, we just heard, you know, Dan posted this morning, Dan Merle on his YouTube channel, a video about him moving out of LA with Mara. I moved out of LA in the last couple of weeks, so I'm curious to hear how JTE's been doing, because he's been doing it for quite some time, what his life is like doing there, what the ups and downs of it also. It'll be a lot of fun to catch up with my brother. It's been a long, long time, and JTE's been very kind to have me on a number of his shows, and I've only ever had him on the Top 10, you know, to sit down and have a thing. And I've sent the link out to Jeff Snyder, so maybe Snyder will stop by as well to have a little fun busting my balls, Top 10 versus the Patriots. It'll be a lot of fun. Don't forget, last night we had a special episode of Game Time at 7 p.m. PT because I had a match yesterday, which I cannot talk about, but I had to delay Game Time to 7 p.m. PT last night. The new episode is up. We're talking about everything going on in Week 6 in the NFL, a little NBA talk, a little MLB talk with the Dodgers, and the Rays winning their Game 7s to set up a titanic World Series battle between these two incredible teams. This morning, the new episode of the Top 10 dropped this morning. I think it's the Top 10. I always forget what it is because we do so many of these back-to-back. I think it's the Top 10 movies set in the fall. I think it is the Top 10 movies set in the fall. So that's going to be that's a great one that we dropped this morning. So go and enjoy that as well. And don't forget, Thursday night is the night where the debate is back. The last debate between President Donald Trump and challenger, former Vice President Joe Biden. We are going to be covering it. We'll have special guests popping by as well. And we'll actually watch the debate live. For those of you who watch the vice presidential debate, we will actually be able to put the debate on the screen. So you're not just going to watch us reacting to it. You're actually going to watch the debate with us and watch us reacting to it and talking about it beforehand and during and afterwards. So something for y'all to enjoy for sure. And of course, a new episode of The Jedi Way is coming later on this week. We're going to talk about that Mandalorian trailer and so much more going on in the world of Star Wars with me and Laura Kelly. All right, that's everything going on the Outlaw Nation channel. Thank you all so much for being a part of it. Much love to all of you for the Streamlabs and the Super Chats. today that came through. And of course, much love to Alex Shawshak for doing this with me every Tuesday and Thursday morning. Much love to you, everybody else. Have yourself a great Tuesday. Take care of yourself. Oh, that sweetheart of a cat. Look at her.
Yeah, she's right on the blanket. Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Oh, she wants to attack. All right, we'll get Addie out of here. All right, we'll see you Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. PT again. And Alex, what do we tell them?
Guys, wear a mask so I can go to a movie theater again.
Yes, please.